And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And certainly, there probably is no more important topic facing our community, facing the nation, facing the world right now than coronavirus. And one of the people who has his finger on the pulse of what's happening, as well as leading us through this challenge, is Colorado Springs Mayor John Suthers. Welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. So we're talking about what the city is doing and how the city is cooperating with the other agencies throughout the state in terms of coronavirus response. Take me through what is a typical day for you now that we're in the midst of this emergency.
A typical day for me is to go from phone conference to phone conference. I usually have two phone conferences a week with other mayors. We had 450 of the largest city mayors on the line last week. I also have a conference, I think, tomorrow with another group of mayors. There's at least two or three White House conferences a week where we're hearing from different aspects of the federal government. The governor and the three largest city mayors and the federal congressional delegation have at least one phone conference a week. I have a weekly phone conference with all the military base commanders. And then our line of communication with the local health department is constant. We talk to them several times a day, either me personally or Brett Waters, Deputy Chief of Staff, who's kind of charged with the continuous line of communication with both the local and state health department. So it's one darn meeting after another, basically, Shannon, and all very important, trying to learn as much information as we can and do what we need to. My three priorities are pretty clear. Number one, health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Colorado Springs. Number two, keep the city operating. Make sure that we're providing public safety, police, fire services. Obviously, we have aspects of the city administration. We're still filling potholes. We're still responding to code violations. We're still cleaning up camps, all that sort of thing. And then finally, and this is, you know, very much in flux, but we have to prepare for a dramatic downturn in city revenues and how we're going to deal with that. And we're modeling, you know, depending upon how long this lasts, what sort of cuts are going to have to be made. So we're spending, you know, that's what we're doing. And my life right now is talking to federal, state officials, health departments, local military commanders, other mayors across the country. It's kind of like Groundhog Day every day. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And trying to learn from mistakes of others so that we can maybe move forward.
Yeah, we would like to have our curve a lot different than New York City and other places.
Right. And mistake maybe not the right word, because I think we are grappling with something new, something novel. So it isn't
There
is a playbook for this exactly.
No, we're starting to develop a little bit of a playbook, seeing, you know, obviously the Center for Disease Control is looking what's other countries. We're trying to avoid, you know, the Italian and Spanish scenario. We're looking what South Korea's done, and a lot of modeling going on. And obviously, that's there's a little bit of science in it, but there's a lot of unknown in it.
And you mentioned when the stay-at-home order went into effect, it took not just here in Colorado Springs, but it took a number of entities around the state a little bit by surprise. And you weren't sure at that time that that's how it ought to be handled. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, sure. What I said is I don't think a politician like myself should be declaring, you know, I was getting a lot of pressure, a lot of phone calls. The mayor of Denver had issued a stay-at-home order. Why don't you do it? And as I said at the time, I'll do it if the health department asks me to do it. I want to listen to health experts on this thing, not other politicians. Or obviously, if the governor, on the basis of his communications with the state health department, makes a decision to do that. So it's going to be the governor or it's going to be the health department talking to me. It's not going to be John Southers deciding that that's the way we ought to go. From a personal perspective, I was trying to analyze, you know, we had a whole series of orders down from the governor, closing the restaurants, no more groups of 10.
Schools.
Closing a lot of other businesses, no more than half the workforce at other businesses, and I was curious to see how that would impact the numbers for, you know, a week or so before we went to shelter in place. But the decision was made at the state level to go to shelter in place. That became the law of the state of Colorado, and I become an agent who's you know, responsible for enforcement of the law. Contrary to some of the social media now, you know, I've turned last week when I didn't issue an order, I was, you know, evil incarnate because people were dying, and this week I'm a Nazi because I've, you know, said that there is a process in place to enforce the governor's order if necessary. But the fact of the matter is we're trying to do it with high levels of cooperation, and frankly, I think we're getting it. You know, there's a few dissident voices, but the vast, vast majority of people understand this is a very, very serious health issue, and they're being cooperative. I think they have a sense that shared sacrifice and shared responsibility is how we're going to get over this as soon as possible, and it is everyone's self-interest and community interest to get through this as soon as possible and get the economy back functioning.
And now I know that we have not had Colorado Springs police or firefighters out there enforcing in any sort of way sheltering in place. How well do you think the people of Colorado Springs are following the directive?
Well, I was I went to a couple of parks this weekend, and I thought they were doing a really good job. People were seemed to be distancing. Obviously, they were in families, but families were distancing themselves from each other. I think generally people are taking it very, very seriously. I think they're respectful of the fact that I think what's really starting to kick in. You know, for several weeks, people were thinking, well, this isn't a big danger for me because I'm 25 or I'm 30 or I'm 35. But I think people are now understanding, well, that's not the problem. The problem is if you contract it, you may or may not know you have it. You may have very minor or almost imperceptible symptoms. But if you then give it to grandma, that can present very, very serious problems. And so I think people are getting it, and I think there is a very high level of voluntary compliance.
And has your thinking on the issue, has this, in just this, I guess, past 10-day period, has it changed? Has it evolved?
Oh, certainly. I mean, everybody's has. Over as the weeks have gone by, I think we've learned more about it, and we've seen what can happen if there isn't appropriate social distancing. And as I say, we're trying to avoid a New York scenario or a Washington State scenario or a New Orleans scenario. And we need a high, high level of cooperation from our citizens to do it.
Okay. We've got much more to talk about with Mayor John Southers, just how much that cooperation will cost the community, will cost the county, will cost the state. We're going to be talking about that coming up, as well as much more on how his agencies are protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Colorado Springs. You're listening to The Extra. Before we go to break, I want to give you that number again. If you have questions about coronavirus in El Paso County, there is a hotline number that they've established, 575-8888, area code 719. Give that number a call if you have a basic question or need that you need to see if it can be addressed. Don't call 911. The number to call is that number, unless it's an emergency, unless you have a life-threatening health emergency. So we're going to take a break at 9:18. We'll be back in a moment with much more of The Extra. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, topics, and issues that are important to you. And today, we're talking to Colorado Springs Mayor John Suthers, and we're talking about the challenges that the city is facing due to the coronavirus outbreak. Mayor Suthers, let me ask you about this. I know this is handled at the state level, but it will be trickling down. President Trump giving the green light to that major disaster declaration for the state of Colorado, approving the order that the state had been seeking. What do you think that does in a general sense for our state?
Well, it makes us eligible for various forms of federal funding. There is a portion of Small Business Administration funding that is dependent on us having been declared by the federal government a disaster area. I think before this is all done, virtually every state will be declared a disaster area by the federal government. And of course, the state has declared an emergency. City of Colorado Springs has declared an emergency. So the bottom line is we're doing what we can to make sure that we have maximum eligibility for the various streams of federal funding that are going to come down. It's a massive amount of money, $2.2 trillion. And I think one of the most important things that we can do as a city, and I think we can certainly play an important role in it, make sure that our citizens, our small businesses are aware of all the different funding streams that are coming down. We're starting to, you know, dissect the bill that passed at the end of last week, working with folks in the community and the Small Business Administration and others that will make sure that our small businesses know what's available. We also, as a city, have to make sure we know what's available. We had some disappointments. The package that was finally approved only does direct reimbursements to cities over $500,000, and that we had lobbied that it be on the basis of community block grant development funds, whatever our ratio is currently, that cities ought to get that. But the bill that passed said cities over 500, of which there are only 34. We happen to be the 39th largest city in the United States. We're just under 500,000. So we will have to go through the state to get funding. As it is right now, Shannon, the funding is only in the form of reimbursement of COVID-related expenses, and that will help a little bit. But, of course, our biggest problem is going to be the huge decrease in just general revenue from the economic losses, loss of sales tax and all that kind of stuff. The House is talking about a fourth phase, which may give direct funding to cities of all sizes for those purposes. As of right now, of course, we're keeping every single receipt. We're calculating all the time that's spent on COVID-related matters because we will be eligible for some form of reimbursement for that.
And projecting out the possible sales tax receipt losses. I mean, have we done modeling for this? Because
bet we're doing it.
Yeah.
The chief financial officer's doing it 24 hours a day, and her staff. And what we started out last week. Obviously, the easy things are an immediate hiring freeze, travel bans. We're delaying all discretionary purchases. We've put some capital projects on hold. Even some of them are, you know, long, long overdue, but we simply will not have the money for them. We met with all the departments last week and said among them they need to come up with $20 million worth of cuts because we think that's the minimum.
Wow.
Even if we got back to, and they have, you know, we've done that. And then we're doing trigger points that, you know, if you get to this certain point, we may be looking at across-the-board wage decreases. If you look at this point, we may be looking at furloughs and things like that. We have no choice but to do that kind of modeling, and we'll do, as I like to say, unlike the federal government, the reason why all the money is going to flow from the federal government, they're the only ones that can run a deficit. State of Colorado has to balance its budget. The city of Colorado Springs, by law, has to balance its budget. And so we have no choice but to do that. And So the vast majority of money that's going to flow to help from a governmental perspective will be from the federal government. Now, the good news is, of course, there's a tremendous amount of, and I think we ought to take an opportunity to talk about the incredible volunteerism that's going on and also philanthropy. As you may know, there's an economic relief fund on the state level, Help Colorado Now. I think they've raised over $8 million. Some community-based organizations down here are putting together relief funds. The Pikes Peak Community Foundation is offering grant applications. You can donate there at ppcf.org.
And we'll be having them on The Extra tomorrow, so we'll be talking much
bet.
More
and
about that.
The city's working with them in cooperation with other organizations, Exponential Impact, which is basically an accelerator for small businesses in the cyber area, because they're not going to be having a new cohort. They're moving into some relief for small businesses. And you'll learn from your conversations tomorrow that we're raising money to help small businesses in addition to whatever federal government assistance trickles down. And then the other thing I want to point out is the tremendous amount of volunteerism that's going on. You know, I was out at Silver Key a couple of times last week, and they would normally be delivering 500 meals a day. But now folks can't come into their cafes that they have around town. Mm-hmm. And so they've got hundreds of folks in there putting together bags with seven meals, frozen meals at a time, that people can pick up. So they're basically doing the equivalent of at least 1,000 meals a day. And when you see that kind of volunteerism, it's really, really heartening. And then let's, of course, not we can't not talk about our healthcare folks that are out there doing just yeoman work. And I want to assure our citizens that there's a tremendous amount of planning that's being done there. Obviously, we're monitoring how many hospital beds are being filled, how many ICU beds are being filled, how many ventilators are being used, and if, in fact, we have a spike like we've seen in other areas of the country, what are we going to do for space? And there's a great cooperation between the state of Colorado and the local health department, offices of emergency management. We've identified spaces that we would move into if that eventuality comes about. We hope it doesn't, but we have to be prepared if it does.
Okay. We're speaking on the phone with Mayor John Suthers with the Colorado Springs City, and we are going to be talking much more about how the city is responding, planning for, and projecting the impact of the coronavirus epidemic. We have much more to talk about, but we're going to take a short break. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Extra, and we are joined this morning by Colorado Springs City Mayor John Suthers. And Mayor Suthers, thanks so much for bringing us your, insight into the inner workings of how the response is going from the city for the coronavirus pandemic. Let's talk about businesses and the business outlook and economic outlook, because while that isn't your primary job, I know you've been very instrumental in certain businesses locating to Colorado Springs. And how are plans going, and how does this, the stay-at-home order, the shelter in place, how does this all affect those outlooks, those plans, and what to do to support current businesses that are really having to decide between whether to keep people on the payroll or shut down temporarily or for good?
Well, Shannon, of course, it depends upon what area you're in business. It's our small businesses that are really, really suffering. Some of our larger businesses are in important supply chains, metal equipment, medical equipment, things like that. And so they're an exception to the governor's order, and they'll come through this just fine. But I think it's, and I think everybody knows this, it's the small businesses who are unable to operate and who are having to lay off lots of people. And some of them operate on pretty small margins to start with, and a extended shutdown will be very, very difficult to recover from. They're the ones, of course, who are going to have to see what kind of federal, state, and local assistance and philanthropic assistance they can garner. There are some pretty amazing loan programs in this $2.2 trillion package. So, for example, some of the loans that you'll get from the federal government, if portions of it go to payroll, those portions will be forgiven. You don't have to pay them back, and that will be of obviously great assistance. But these companies are going to have to work through whatever bureaucracy is involved in making application for them. Now, let's talk about lots of things that are underway. You know, we had a tremendous amount of momentum going on in Colorado Springs before this.
Sure did, yeah.
And some of that will is unaffected because the money's already been appropriated. I look, for example, to what I think are some transformational Sea for Champions projects. The museum is going to be completed. It's, as was indicated last week, it's not going to open in the last weekend in May, but it is going to be completed. It is going to be opened, and once we're back to normal tourism, it's going to be a fantastic attraction. The building's iconic. It's been named one of the most anticipated buildings to be opened in 2020. The Hybl Medical Center at UCCS campus, which is a partnership between UCCS and Penrose St. Francis, is a sports medicine center that is going to be state-of-the-art and attract patients, researchers, physicians from all over the country. That will open this summer. That's being completed. The downtown stadium for the Switchbacks is under construction. Construction is a exception to the shelter-in-place order, and that construction's continuing to go ahead. The downtown arena at Carroll College is continuing to be constructed. The one that's City for Champions project that is not broken ground yet is the Air Force Academy Visitor Center. We've had a delay as a result of the financial volatility that's been induced by this. We've had a delay in the issuance of bonds, but the state has given us, instead of March 31st, we just will have until December 31st to get those bonds issued. Hopefully things will stabilize and we'll get that done. So that project will not be impacted. There's no question, Shannon, that there are companies who Amazon. Let's talk about the Amazon facility at the airport. Obviously, right. Amazon's going great guns. That's not going to be impacted by this. That project is going ahead with the completion date of before Christmas of 2021. So a lot of our major projects are not impacted by this. But there's no question we had, you know, businesses in the pipeline that we thought would make choices to move here in the coming months and things like that. And depending upon where they are, you know, what their business is and how impacted it is by the coronavirus, those things may not happen.
Because when you visit some of these businesses, the small businesses that have remained open, say small restaurants that are still serving takeout meals, it feels almost like you are going into something suspended in time. It feels like and no one knows the end result, and there's nowhere that a business, you know, it's not like it's affecting just one geographic area. It's affecting the entire globe.
You're exactly right. It's not just New York City. It's not just China. It is the entire globe. There's no question about it. And when I talk to these restaurants, and by the way, I encourage everybody to support the takeout business to the extent that they're capable of doing so. But you talk to them, and most of them are telling me their best case scenario, they're doing 20 to 25% of the normal business, and that there have fewer people doing it. And That's able to keep some people employed and maybe keep the company open, and that's why we really want the small business open. That's why we want to encourage folks to patronize them. But it's tough and it's uncertain because we simply don't know how long this is going to last.
Right. I'm speaking on the phone with John Southers, the mayor of Colorado Springs. We have more questions to ask, but we are going to take a short break here on The Extra. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back in a few moments. Welcome back to The Extra. We are joined on the phone with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers, who's been talking about the level of cooperation and collaboration that's been going on with the various agencies at the city level, at the county level, at the state level, even the federal level. What sort of things have you thought when you've seen them playing out in other cities that you've decided we want to learn from that lesson? What sort of things have you been seeing play out, or can you share from the discussions with other cities' mayors?
Well, it depends. Obviously, the big city mayors, a lot of them are in real hot spots. Bill de Blasio, the New York city mayor, was on the call last week, and, you know, I told you we just arranged for $20 million of cuts based on last half of March and April, if that goes on for there. If you can imagine, de Blasio's looking at $10 billion of cuts. So it's all relative and proportional. In other areas of the country, you know, for example, I think to this day, we've still got about 20 counties in Colorado that don't have a COVID positive case. And that's just a situation of making sure people understand that this is a, if they want to avoid what other places are going through right now, social distancing is something they need to do now, because you don't want to have people interfacing with folks in cities that are having a problem and bring it back to your community. As you know, I keep track, very close track of the statistics every morning, and if people want to see what's going on, then go to the state, just Google CDPHE, and they'll have the state numbers every morning. For example, this
morning. Sorry about that, Mayor. Go ahead.
2,307 tested positive in the state of Colorado. Of course, given the number of tests that have been done, we obviously have a lot more people with it. 47 deaths. El Paso County, we've got 214 tested positive with 11 deaths. The sad thing is we have more deaths in El Paso County than any other county. We have a smaller than our proportional share of positive tests, but that's faint consolation, because that's largely a function of just how many people have been tested.
Right. And it is important to keep track of how many people are tested. Do we still have a bottleneck in terms of getting people tested?
Well, I think we, as you know, there's been kind of a shift in philosophy. Most of the drive-up places have been closed down. I think there may be one or two available. But the bottom line is unless you're sick enough that you may need hospitalization, that's the point in time that testing is being done. If you think you may have it because you have minor symptoms, the encouragement is to quarantine at home and don't get a test. But if you've got symptoms, including serious respiratory issues that cause you to go to the hospital, they're going to test you to determine whether or not you need to get in treatment for the coronavirus.
And where do you think is going to be, not just at this present time, but in the days and weeks and months to come, where do you think the biggest frustration for folks is going to be in how the city's response is going? Do you anticipate, or are you seeing already that being expressed?
As I said at the beginning, Shannon, you kind of have a lot of split opinion out there. A lot of people said,
very much
the city
so.
Wasn't, Yeah, the city wasn't being aggressive enough last week, and now they think we're being too aggressive and all that sort of thing. And you know, I'm sorry, I just can't worry about that day in and day out. I've got to make decisions on a day-by-day basis based on what we think is in the best interest of the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Colorado Springs, our city employees, and obviously to talk about what an economic recovery. And I just can't get too bogged down by who's criticizing me this day or the next and all that kind of stuff. I do think, personally, that if we have another month of shelter at home, I think there's going to be it's mentally taxing for people who are normally active and get out and do things and, you know, go to movies and all that kind of stuff. And I think there'll be a lot of pushback about that, and we'll just have to keep reminding them why we're doing it and why we need this shared responsibility and the shared sacrifice. In terms of city services, I think people are pretty pleased with the level of city services we've been able to maintain. We're still taking, you know, planning documents in. You may not have personal contact with a planner, but you drop it off here. They, you know, look at the documents, get back to you. The city is still open for business. Building permits are being pulled. Inspections are being done, some of them virtual, by the way. But I think in terms of city services, I think people will be, frankly, pretty much amazed that we're able to do what we're able to do. But I
so
think
don't just assume that a service is not being offered. Call the agency that you need to deal
That's
with.
That's exactly right.
And
That's
and
exactly
and find right. out if there's
yeah.
some sort of
yeah.
option.
Yeah, no question about it. I think they'll. But I think the toughest thing is people are going to have to continue to adapt to this isolation at home, which is not fun. No. It's not fun at all.
It's a loss of our liberty. That feels
it
very
is.
Elemental.
You know, and of course you hear lots of people say, oh, this is unconstitutional and things like that. I'm a pretty experienced lawyer in the constitutional area. And interestingly enough, the federal government doesn't have much power to react to health crisis. But the state and local governments do have in place emergency health order powers. And I think what's been done now, I don't think there's any question that it's in response to a real, I know there are, you know, people out there calling it a fake emergency. It is not a fake emergency. This is a very real health crisis. And I don't think there's any question that courts would stand behind the steps that have been taken by state and local governments thus far. And as I say, Shannon, we've got to have shared responsibility and shared sacrifice to get through this as soon as we possibly can. And I honestly believe if everybody does their part and we can emerge from this, get back to our economy moving, in many ways, this could be our finest hour as a city.
Well, well said there. And we will leave our listeners with that thought on their minds as a final thought. And thank you to Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers for joining us this morning and sharing all of these insights. We really appreciate it. We know it's a difficult time, and this took an hour out of your busy day of conferring with all other leaders and people that you need to be doing business with. So appreciate that. Thank you for listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.